Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 9:51 a.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 11th, and I'm recording a little earlier today because I've got some commitments in the afternoon. But one thing that is very clear is that China is now sending out a clear signal that they're willing to support their market. We've seen that the renminbi has been supported around the 6.9 area again. That was following the weakness yesterday, so that was completely unwound in here today. But more important than that is the strength that we've seen in support for the A-share market. And when we think about the fact that bull markets in China tend to be state-sponsored, well, this is evidence of state sponsorship. We're starting to see that the market is rallying once more. It had been rallying from the beginning of this year and then started to really pull back when the trade negotiations failed. But now we're starting to see a clearer incentive for the Chinese administration to try and support the economy as well as the stock market. So they're starting to also make money available to the regional banking sector. We've seen two of the regional banks run into trouble in the last couple of weeks. There is a very large quantity of money that is sitting out there in non-performing loans and that is not realized on balance sheets. There's a lot of it sitting in special purpose vehicles attached to the regional banking sector. It's difficult to monitor that because they're not listed. So the fact is that when you see that Baoshang Bank was taken over by the central bank 2 weeks ago, Jinju Bank was had its auditors resign last week. These are, I think, straws in the wind to tell us that some of the stress that has been building in the regional banking sector is starting to be realized and necessitates that some action be taken to support the sector. So money is being made available to these banks. Lending criteria are being reduced, and that's a positive. We're also starting to see that the banking sector is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. China ran a $550 billion deficit last year. It's China's willingness to continue to run deficits is one of the things that can potentially support the global economy. It's a really massive source of global liquidity. Then the others are the dollar. The strength or otherwise of the dollar is a determining factor in the value of assets sitting on central banks globally. Well, the dollar has been pulling back this month. It was stable over the last couple of days, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. And there is a clear potential here that the region of the trend mean could fail. If that indeed occurs, it's likely to be beneficial to global markets generally, because it will reduce the appeal of the US market and increase the appeal particularly of markets that have got a better valuation. That's certainly Europe starts to pick up in terms of valuation metrics, and so does a lot of Asia. And the Euro stocks market is in positive territory in here today. But of course, the market that will probably be most affected by weakness in the dollar is gold. And gold had raced to get from $1,275 to $1,350, and now we're getting some consolidation, but it's not nearly as dynamic in manner as we've seen from other pullbacks from this area. I think it's particularly instructive to look at the weekly chart over the course of about a decade so that we can see the decline and we see the failures to sustain moves above the $1,350 area. We won't be able to truly confirm that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment until gold is trading sustainably above the $1,350 area. Once it's done that, then we can conclude that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. And there is a rationale for why that might start to be the case, because I think there is a logical argument that we are now in a period of modern monetary theory being explored, particularly in the USA. having had a really impressive rebound over the course of 6 days. The S&P 500 is in negative territory so far today. The short-term oversold condition has been replaced by this very emphatic upside weekly key last week. That was on the back of the trade negotiations with Mexico improving. Well, I think, and it wasn't really a negotiation, but rather an ultimatum. And now the big question is, what's going to happen with China? Well, China's obviously trying to exhibit a strong and calm front. And now the bigger question is, what is going to happen in terms of the central bank or the Federal Reserve's balance sheet? Because this is the third avenue through which liquidity gets created. And this was a massively important factor from 2009 through to about 2014. But it has been contracting and has represented a headwind over the course of the last 18 months. And that has corresponded with a significant period of volatility on Wall Street. Well, it's due to end in September. And I do think that that is what markets are starting to price in. That we are coming to the end of quantitative tightening, that China is starting to ease in terms of both monetary and fiscal stimulus, and then you have the potential that the dollar, as a result of the end of quantitative tightening, is susceptible to some weakness. So there is the potential that we're going to get additional sources of liquidity coming into this market. Now, the bigger question is whether it is going to happen quick enough to avoid some of the recessionary fears that people have been talking about over the course of the last while. One thing that we've definitely seen over the last few months has been that PMI figures, and I've saved a number of these charts just so we can go through them quickly. But Italy is, the PMI is below 50. It's the same story with the UK. Same story with, that's the wrong one. That's the Chinese one is back below 50. South Korea is back below 50, and so is Japan. So that's, I think, a rather important set of factors that we have. Conditions where manufacturing has been deteriorating over the course of the last while, and that does represent a challenge. So when we have monetary conditions that have been tightening up and we have manufacturing conditions that have been deteriorating, well, that is beginning to price in the potential for an economic contraction. So the much bigger question out there is whether central banks are not just acting, but whether they're acting quick enough to avoid an economic contraction. The stock market appears to be voting that it can avoid a contraction, and that is contingent on the recent lows continuing to hold. Then we have the clear signal that we have from the Treasury market, where there is a very consistent advance, and it is certainly overbought in the short term. We're getting some much needed consolidation. That is likely to persist for a while. If we think about the consistency of that trend, the ranges have lasted for approximately a month or two, so we're really only 5 or 6 days into this consolidation. As long as it holds the 125 area, then this is still a consistent trend. And that, I think, is one of the more meaningful takeaways. If we flip that around and look at the 10-year yield, the most striking thing that we see is that it failed to sustain the move above the 3% level, and that the dynamic of the failure was larger than the dynamic of the breakout. So now we are seeing it coming back down towards the lower side of this range. The reality, I suspect, is that central banks and governments are waiting for an excuse to launch into a more overt suite of modern monetary theory policies. And a growth scare is potentially one of them. We're in the third year of the US presidential cycle, and it is looking likely that by the time we get into the second half of this year, we're going to see overt evidence of monetary easing. And that is very much in tune with what we expect from from the US presidential cycle. So while I do think that there is scope for some additional consolidation in the stock market in the short term, I think we have to be reasonably open to the potential that we are going to see this lengthy range that has persisted now for a year and a half on the primary indices. It could indeed be resolved on the upside. But of course, that is contingent on the additional sources of monetary easing starting to be delivered upon. When we then think about what is going on in terms of the primary commodities, well, copper prices had attempted to bounce in here today, but weren't quite able to hold on to all of it. But it is at least demonstrating some short-term support in the region of the lower side of the underlying range, having failed to sustain the move above the $2.90 area and pulling back in a dynamic manner. It did come all the way back down and test the lower side of that range, and we're starting to see just the very first evidence of support starting to come back in. Then lumber prices were not quite limit up today, but really not far off it. And we are starting to see some evidence of support coming in around the 300 area. We've had incredible volatility in lumber prices over the course of the last 18 months. But this is clear evidence now of some support starting to come back in around the $300 area. It suggests that that's about as low as prices are likely to come. Then corn prices today were also in positive territory. And this is starting to confirm support around the 400 cent level. And we are potentially now in a position where this base formation could be resolved on the upside. So there is the potential that we are going to see some additional strength in the commodity complex coming through. But I think one of the exceptions here is going to be oil. We have had a period of strength. Now it is looking increasingly likely that this is rolling over again. The likelihood is that we are going to see a much more volatile, rangy trading environment on the oil price, particularly following the failure in the region of the trend mean 3 weeks ago. I think when we then think about the global economy, there is the potential that liquidity is going to start flowing once more. The Nifty index continues to hold in the region of its highs. Then when we think about some of the other regional markets in Asia, well, the Thai market has been steadying from around the 1600 point level, which is the upper side of that underlying 5 year range. And I think that's a meaningful move. Then when we think about the outlook for Indonesia, that market has been largely ignored by investors, but it has been bouncing over the course of the last 3 weeks and is now back above the trend mean, and Widodo is back in power there. Then Japan is being singled out by some investors as a value play, and the market has bounced from above this 20,000 level. It absolutely needs to hold that 20,000 area, but so far this is reasonably positive action. The second section index has been struggling to push back above the trend mean, and it still has work to do in order to really demonstrate that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. A lot of that is likely to hinge on the ability of the yen to weaken from here, and that will be tied to perceptions of the likelihood for additional monetary easing. Japan has been tailing back from its quantitative easing program. They've certainly been moderating their purchases if they were to start stepping on the accelerator again, then that would be one of the catalysts that would start to drive the yen lower. But this is still a reasonably modest bounce for the dollar, and there certainly hasn't been anything in the way of upper dynamics to confirm that we've got anything other than short-term demand dominance for the dollar against the yen. So we are at a point where I think there is the potential for a pause following the impressive advance we've seen. There is an intensification going on in terms of the trade war, and China's definitely trying to support their market. That's more of a reflection of the intensity of the negotiations that are going on rather than any particular strength in the economy. But when we start to line up the potential sources of liquidity that are important to the market, they are starting to improve. So I think that's one of the more important medium-term considerations. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.